You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 418 of the Locked On Senators Podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in Collingwood. And while we wait for Friday, the next time the Sens are in action on the road in Dallas, we figure what better time than the middle of the week to check in on around the league. It was 2 weeks yesterday that the NHL season was underway, and the Montreal Canadiens only have one win. So obviously we'll touch on that. Mitch Marner, Cole Caulfield have combined for less points than Artem Zub. We've got all the stats, news, analysis that you need to know, including a check-in on some Sens abroad. Great moment last night that was captured between Erik Karlsson and Mark Borowiecki. We also are recording right before the Senators head onto the ice at practice. We'll update you on who's there, who's not. Dylan Gambrell, is he slotting in today? All that and more. This is the Locked On Senators Podcast, your team every day. Today is Wednesday, October 27th, and Pilsy, Eric Branstrom has a new agent.
Yeah, I mean, that is some massive news, really, when you start to look at, like, what does that mean for Eric Branstrom, and what does that mean for Eric Branstrom and the Ottawa Senators? The first thing that came to my mind, Ross, is this is starting to look a little bit like the Logan Brown saga. We saw, I don't want it any more than you, but we saw a disgruntled top round talent player feeling like he's not getting the opportunities he deserves, up and down between Belleville and Ottawa, stuck in Belleville, and then says, you know what, I need a new agent here, things aren't working out. And that, it's not a good sign. That's all I'll say for now, is it's not a good sign that he's switched agents, at least in my opinion.
Funny enough, Andreas Johannesson, I think, is the new agent. It's with Newport Sports, so the same governing body that has Craig Oster and Brady Tkachuk. They're a wagon. They're probably the number one agency that gets stuff done. But do you think it could be a word to the wise for Eric Branstrom? I'm not saying it's the same situation as Logan Brown, but since you mentioned that, Logan Brown gets his wish, new organization, and guess what? He ends up right back in the minors 2 weeks later.
Yeah, but I think if you're Logan Brown, you'd rather be in the minors of the St. Louis Blues system than the Sens system, just because...
Wow, no offense to Belleville.
If you're Logan Brown, is what I'm saying. He's with his hometown team. He feels like he has a fresh start. It's a new opportunity. Like, sure, it's going to be a lot harder to crack the St. Louis Blues team than it will be to crack the Ottawa Senators team, but maybe he feels like he's got a fresh start and things are different there, but... Yeah, I'm not trying to say I want Branstrom to head down this path. You guys know my stance on Branstrom. I still think it's too early to try to trade him. The Senators are in need of a puck-moving defenseman.
Or
he
two.
Is a puck-moving defenseman. Yeah, or two. So the least they could do is give him another shot in the NHL before trying to trade him here. Now, I know Elliot Friedman reported that he's on the block. I think it's more of a situation where teams are calling the Sens rather than the Sens openly calling other teams shopping him. So that's interesting too. And also, while we're on the talk of Eric Branstrom, that high hit that he took in Belleville's last game was some of the greasiest stuff I've ever seen. And he knocked out a couple teeth and he had a couple stitches too on his face, and he's coming back out. So good on him sticking through that. But man, add insult to injury. If you're a player that feels like he shouldn't be down in the minors and then you're getting cheap-shotted like that, just trying to enter the zone. Tough, tough for Branny.
If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that, well, at least I feel that Branny gets hit hard often, and it's a problem with checking his gaps or checking his rearview mirror when he's going back to get pucks. This was not one of those situations.
No.
As he was weaving through the neutral zone, coming up ice, next thing you know, cross-check right to the face. Gavin Bayruther is the culprit there, and he is suspended for 2 games. Pilsy, you mentioned it though. Eric Branstrom toughing it out. He will be in the lineup tonight. It's Belleville's first 3-game week. And that's a lot of hockey. So tonight
They're at home against the Rochester Amherst. And Pilsy, that was the last game you and I worked for the Belleville Senators, the last time these two teams met on March 7th. They've got a couple of young, talented players in their lineup as well. You look at former Ottawa 67 Jack Quinn, the surprise 8th overall pick in that 2020 NHL draft. And J.J. Paterka, Timmy Stützle's old World Junior teammate. So this will be a tough test for Belleville tonight, and they're doing it with 11-7 based on the injuries that they've sustained. So you look at all those factors coming in. For me, let's see a good effort from Philly franchise, because again, I pulled up the numbers last week and it's mind-boggling. It doesn't make any sense to me that his AHL numbers in a 70-game sample size are not good. But in a 10-game NHL sample size, they're elite, best in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask Andrew Hammond about that phenomenon as well, just being a below-average AHL goalie and then being an above-average NHL goalie for a short span of time. But yeah, the goaltending really needs to get going in Belleville. I mean, Matt Sogard's been out for a while. I'm not really sure what his update on his injury status is or when he's coming back, but they had to call, and good thing they have an ECHL team, because they had to recall a goalie from the Gladiators for a bit there too. So that's been tough, but the bigger problem with Belleville, Ross, isn't the goaltending, it's the lack of offensive production. Like,
unfortunately,
Igor hasn't been scoring, Yarventi hasn't been scoring. The veterans they brought in, Aberg hasn't been scoring. Agostino had the one goal on the weekend, but that was the lone goal of the entire weekend. So this team is struggling, and I know we joke about it, but I'm dead serious. This team does need a Darren Archibald type guy. Like,
honestly, my first thought, Pilsy, when Branny got hit high, I said, if Archibald's out there, that doesn't happen.
Well, and not even just because, like, it's like a, like, he wasn't like an enforcer, but he was a gritty veteran AHL forward who just, like, he understood how the AHL works and how to get a handle on. You need guys that are in between those young top talent prospects and the kind of aged out veterans. You need like a 30-year-old gritty veteran. Like, they got some of those guys in Agostino and Aberg, but they're not really gritty. I need some grit to add to this team to help protect the investments, as Scott Savern would say.
Yeah, Pontus Aberg, the only player with more than 2 points on this team. Of course, they're four games into their season. Aberg with 3 points. And you mentioned Yarventi and Sokolov still looking for their first goal. Well, so are Eric Branstrom's looking for his first point. He's dashed 5 in 4 games. Mark Kastlitz, nothing on the board. Not a Sens Central bump, unfortunately, for him. But, hey, we still have high hopes. Jacob Bernard-Docker, just the one -1, no points. And so you look up and down this lineup. They even took away Philip Daou's first AHL goal. They said it got tipped. So he's off the board, still looking for his first. Now, Lassie Thompson, on the other hand, was praised heavily by head coach Troy Mann, saying that he is really developing, and could he be a guest next week on Locked On Senators? Potentially, Pilsy, but we are excited to see Belleville in action this upcoming weekend. I mentioned the game tonight at home against Rochester, and then they're at home again on Friday. If you're around Belleville, Bay of Quinte, great area.
Yep.
Go see the game. Go watch the boys. Maybe give them a little extra boost. Get that Laval energy in Belleville. And then they're on the road on Saturday against Toronto as well. So four games against. So they play Rochester, then Toronto, and then at Rochester next Wednesday. So lots of action here for the Belleville Senators coming up in what has been a slow start to the season schedule-wise as well. Now, it feels like 10 years ago, Pilsy, we're in Laval for the opener, but it was 2 weeks ago this Friday, and they've only played four games. So excited to see them get a little more consistency here, and hopefully that helps the scorers find their rhythm. But as we wait for that, we've got more waiting to do. And that's why today's a great day to go through some of the happenings around the National Hockey League. And maybe just by talking it out, Pilsy, we'll be able to earn yourself a better parlay of the day, because you're still looking for your first win.
Yeah, still looking for my first win. I was dead on about the Lightning, though. That was a good one. They got a 5-1 win, but my other game did not pan out so well. Vegas ended up beating the Avalanche. Also, while we're talking about Vegas quickly, did you see that empty net goal? It was Dadonov and another player.
Friends abroad. It was Keenan Kolesar.
And, like, Kolesar goes to tap the puck in the net, and then Dadonov, like, goes to stop it with his stick and touch it to get the goal. I've never seen something like that in my life, especially from a veteran player who's been like, I don't want to call Dadonov a 30 goal scorer, but he's like a consistent, like high 20s goal scorer. Like he doesn't need to be stealing that goal from that kid.
Well, it was his first goal of the year. And if you rewind it back, I know the clip starts with Kolesar taking the shot. Dadonov gave him the puck inside the hash marks. Like it was almost like Dadonov was giving the kid a point.
Yeah.
You know, one way or another, but I mean, at least let him.
But then why not? If you're going to give him the point, why not let him score? That's so, I don't know. It's just weird to see that happen. But,
well, anybody who had a Dadonov goal prop was feeling pretty good at betonline.ag, the number one sports book of the Locked On Podcast Network. And you can feel that excitement of an empty net goal if you've got puck line and you're waiting for that puck line Jesus to come and save you from the grasps of despair. And you can also get a 50% welcome bonus so that you're more confident taking risks when you're betting at Bet Online responsibly. And how you do that is a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using the promo code Locked On. So that's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Pills, are you going to hit us with a parlay today or taking the day off after another tough outing where you go 1-for-2?
No, I'm not taking the day off, Ross. I took a look at some of the lines here, and I found some stuff I like here. So I think we might have a winner here.
Oh, I just hit it. Nice. Double-clicked. Back and forth.
All right. So Vegas, look, I was looking at them as the losers of the back-to-back yesterday. However, that didn't happen. Now they're on a back-to-back here. So yesterday, Dallas, I think Dallas is going to beat them because Leonard was their starting goalie yesterday, and I mentioned all the injuries that they had. So I got Dallas winning here, Dallas moneyline, minus 139. And then the Chicago Blackhawks, this team is down bad and on and off the ice. So many COVID protocol players out. I think Kane, Taves, Stillman, a bunch of players are not playing for them. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they got to get things going here somehow. So I think I'm taking their puck line. I think they're going to explode offensively. So let's take Dallas Stars money line, Toronto Maple Leafs puck line. Put $10 in. You're going to win $27.83. That is Pillsy's parlay of the day.
Don't sit on the sidelines, even if you're going to bet on the Leafs. But make sure you use our promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's Bet Online, your online sports book experts. All right, Pilsy. So just taking a look around the league as we're waiting for Senators practice to get underway. TSN 1200 just tweeting out that Matt Murray is on the ice for practice. His first time skating with the team since suffering a head/neck injury on a bang-bang play where Chris Kreider collided with him. No maliciousness, but just the fact that it's Chris Kreider makes you... It's just like the Matt Cook situation. Like, he didn't actually try to step on Carl, you think? But reputations precede people, and that's just the case. And I'm glad that they mentioned it was head because, like, there's a couple stories here that aren't fun to get into, but I think we kind of have to touch on them, especially, I mean, Anders Nielsen, former Ottawa Senator, saying that he felt like the Senators kept his concussion in the dark, saying that if you don't have a headache, you don't have a concussion. So that was pretty tough to read for, by all accounts, what was a great guy in the locker room and a guy who played his best and had maybe the best setup in Sens history.
Yeah, I mean, we loved Anders Nielsen, and as a goalie-friendly show, like, this is a tough situation because I feel like with goalies sometimes maybe concussions get downplayed a little. Like, you got to think, like, just because they're not taking body checks and there's no much less fighting going on, that maybe the league thinks that concussions with goalies aren't as serious. But talk about taking a 100-mile slap shot to the dome, even though you got a mask on. Like, talk about the guys like Chris Kreider just coming full speed at you with no regard for your safety at all, crowding the crease, scrambles, all these kinds of things. Goalies are just as susceptible to concussions as anyone else. So I think the league really needs to get a little more serious about goaltender concussions, because for a guy like Anders Nielsen, and I mean, he was only in his early 30s, yeah, right? Like, for his career to get cut short like that is terrible, especially because he was kind of a journeyman guy. He moved around and played backup in a lot of spots, but it really seemed like he had a spot here in Ottawa, yeah, and they were going to rely on him big time. So he was about to get a big chance here, and because of concussion issues, and I'm not sure the full situation, but if he was not treated properly and things got worse and worse and worse, he wasn't given that opportunity. So that's sad to hear, and we're hoping all the best for Anders Nielsen.
The fact he had a 9-11 save percentage with the Ottawa Senators circa 2018 to 2020 is truly remarkable. There's no other way to put it. So we are wishing the best for Anders Nielsen. However, just to get both sides of it, Dean Brown tweeted out something interesting in regards to that, because he said Rick Westhead, who we're going to get to for another story momentarily, but he said that through a Swedish newspaper, so this is all with translation, said he wasn't examined by a doctor after suffering a concussion. So I found it interesting. Dean Brown piped up and said, it's interesting because one of Ottawa's team doctors is Mark Aubrey, who has hosted and been a keynote speaker at several international consensus conferences on concussion and sport. That's a mouthful. But maybe he didn't realize the doctor he saw all the time was, in fact, a sports concussion expert. So a bit of murkiness here in terms of what's what. But the bottom line is we just hope for the best for Anders Nielsen's long-term, short-term health, and hopefully he can enjoy retirement with his family at the best health possible. There's no proper segue to get into the most disgusting story in hockey right now. Pilsy, we don't have to get too far into it, because I think the best thing we can do is direct people to Rick Westhead and the reporters, Katie Strang from The Athletic and Mark Lazarus, who's been covering the Chicago Blackhawks there throughout. And this story, and I don't even, Brad Aldridge, get that guy's name off the Stanley Cup, complete scumbag, sexually assaulted players back in 2010, and then got a positive reference letter to work at a high school team after all this was already known, where he sexually assaulted a minor there. So the findings all came out yesterday. The organization was shaken up. The president, John McDonough, he's been fired. Nobody who's was there in 2010 will remain with the team, including general manager Stan Bowman, who also lost his job as Team USA's GM. So, I mean, it's a start, but Pilsy, like, I don't know how much you got into reading that piece that the independent investigator put out, but it is absolutely revolting.
Yeah, it's brutal stuff. And I mean, it just goes to show you that although hockey is really taking strides to be a better community all around, there's still a lot of issues here. And I mean, this is something that happened a long time ago, and it's only being kind of fully exposed now, which is terrible for the victims, especially that have had to kind of live with that for this long. And only now are the consequences being brought out. And like Ross said, like we're not gonna get too deep into it. The best we can do is direct you towards those articles that Ross mentioned. And shout out to all the journalists too. Like, man, they're really doing a good job of making sure the right story gets told. I don't want to say putting their necks out there, but they're not cowering back and like sugarcoating anything, right? Which is what needs to happen, because if these things get tossed under the rug, sugarcoated, downplayed, then they tend to continue to happen because the consequences don't seem that dire for people that that are doing this, right? So I think it's great that these stories are coming out, because this is a story that needs to be told, and everybody should go check out all the articles to get their own information and facts.
Well said, Pilsy. And yeah, stick taps to Rick Westhead. He's easy to find on Twitter, yeah, Social media, and working with TSN as well. So the Chicago Blackhawks, they're back in action tonight, as you mentioned, your parlay of the day, and their record kind of encapsulates what's going on around that franchise, the dark cloud over it. Like, the Sens have had some dark days, no doubt. Randy Lee stands out above all as being the absolute worst, the darkest days. It still pales in comparison to what the Chicago Blackhawks are dealing with now, with just despicable history of cover-ups when it comes to sexual assault. And the Chicago Blackhawks now 0-5-1 on the season, and you touched in your parlay of the day all the COVID protocol players they have right now. On the other side of that, Pilsy, the Florida Panthers, who, again, like, is their coach going to be there long-term? Joel Quenneville was a part of those meetings in 2010. Kevin Cheveldayoff, the Winnipeg Jets general manager. There is still a reckoning to be had, and we'll touch on it as needed throughout this. But when it comes to those Florida Panthers right now, man, 6-0. Does this surprise you at all?
6-0 surprises me, not going to lie. Like, that's impressive.
What's more surprising, 6-0 Florida Panthers or 5-0 Edmonton Oilers?
I'm going to go with the Panthers, because the Oilers, I mean, that's a regular season team, right? Like, they do well in the regular season. But the problem is, and this is why we're concerned about Thomas Chabot, is Connor McDavid, who Ian Mendez's article talked about it today, only Thomas Chabot plays more average time per shift. I think it was like 109, and Connor McDavid plays an average of 101 per shift. So, like, you're just exhausting this guy throughout the regular season. Then he's gassed and dead for the playoffs. So that's why Thomas Chabot's minutes need to come down, because when the Sens do make the playoffs, they can't have their number one defenseman tired. Otherwise, you have what happens to the Oilers in the playoffs. You get bounced real quick. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Panthers as more surprise, because I feel like they're in a more difficult division, this Atlantic division. There's a lot of great teams, a couple bad ones too. But the teams they got to beat out to stay on top here and stay undefeated is pretty impressive. And they got another tough task tonight, Ross, up against the Boston Bruins.
They certainly do. The Bruins, again, a team who hasn't played as much as other teams here. I'm just trying to pull up this great photo that came out last night from the Nashville Predators, San Jose Sharks game, where it was Erik Karlsson and Boro saying what up to each other in warm-up. But as we start talking about Sens abroad, again, we're just waiting for the line combos right now. But I can also tell you, news trickling out, Austin Watson taking regular reps. So is he closer to making a return? We'll talk about both the NHL, Sens abroad, Matt Duchene, and a whole lot more in terms of Senators line combos. Is Dylan Gambrell at practice? Right after Pilsy, why don't you give us a word here while we kill some time from Built Bar?
Yep, Built Bar is a great way to kill some time and to get some protein in your system. If you're looking for a quick snack, you're on the go, you're at work, you're at school, you're out enjoying the lovely late October rainy season, you need to bring a Built Bar with you to keep you energized. They have so many amazing flavors. I'm a Built Bar guy. You guys know that. They're low in calories, low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. And they're always coming out with new flavors. Ross, I feel like a broken record, but I'm just on Built.com. And again, they have a new flavor for you guys. It's Halloween season. Halloween's this Sunday. Hopefully you guys all got your candy to give out. Or if you're going trick-or-treating with your own kids, you got good costumes ready. But if you're looking to enjoy a seasonal Built Bar, check out Built Bar Puffs. Those are the ones with marshmallow fillings, and they're a little bit smaller, a little bit different style than the regular protein bars. But they've got a new flavor, Paranormal Pumpkin. So if you guys like pumpkin-flavored stuff once in a while when the season's right, I get into that too. Love a good pumpkin pie. Check out Paranormal Pumpkin Built Puffs. Only 140 calories. You get 17 grams of protein packed in there. Some delicious pumpkin flavor. Go try it today for yourself. Head to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your next order. It's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar.
All right, Pilsy, just one more update on the Belleville Senators before we move on. And I'm just getting word that Lassie Thompson is out with injury tonight. Nothing serious, but he will not play. However, Parker Kelly is back in the lineup after his most recent recall to the Ottawa Senators. All right, I teased it enough. How sick is this? That's just, that gets you in your feelings. I just pulled it up on YouTube. Erik Karlsson, Mark Borowiecki saying what up to each other in pregame, of course, two Senators legends. Pilsy, I know that legend, maybe I'm throwing it out a little, not even tongue-in-cheek, but a little hyperbole for Mark Borowiecki, but between Karlsson playing that 2017 playoff run on one ankle, and how many times did Boro get hit, and you're like, that guy's out for 2 months, and he was back in 5 minutes? I don't know if there's many Ottawa Senators in history who put more on the line for their team.
Yep, I would agree. Like, yeah, maybe Boro, the stats aren't there, but
he was led all Sens D in goals his last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the offense was there. But like, this is a great Ottawa story, the Boro story, right? Like, he stuck it out. They knew they wanted to get a different style. Like, before, he was just a fighter, right? Like, he was a guy who wasn't afraid to throw down, throw hits, block shots. But then, you know, he started realizing, I want to do a little more here. And he got a little offensive touch. And yeah, to see him and Karlsson still buddies, like, those are two Ottawa Senators players that we all remember fondly. So love to see Boro still hanging around in the league. And Nashville's lucky they got a guy like him, because he was someone too that not only on the ice, but off the ice, he really was a, you know, a beacon of hope. Like, he was always on the right side of things off the ice. So that's a guy that this Senators locker team and community misses for sure.
Well said, Pilsy. Meanwhile, Matt Duchene, another Sens abroad on the Nashville Predators. Like, who knows what happened with this guy, eh? Over the last couple of years, only 6 goals in 34 games last year, only 13 points. And I was getting worried about him again. I took a look at his stats the other day. He had 1 assist in 5 games and was -4. I was like, oh no. But now he's got 4 points in his last 2 games, including a 3-assist effort. So Matt Duchene turning it up now. Okay, we've managed to get to the moment we've all been waiting for, the Ottawa Senators practice lines today. And we're going to start out with some bad news, Pilsy. So I'd like to apologize right off the bat with that. But remember that play that started the what ended up being a misconduct for both Brady Tkachuk and Tom Wilson last night?
Uh-oh.
I'm not saying this has something to do with it, but Thomas Chabot is not practicing with the team this morning.
Oh, boy.
Do you want to see what the decor looks like? All right. I'm pulling it up on YouTube right there.
I didn't say yes.
Courtesy TSN. 1200. Lots of forwards in the mix now with Austin Watson and Dylan Gambrell both making their first appearance in the Senators lineup. You got to think they're going to bring extra bodies out as they go to Texas, Chicago, and Minnesota their next 3 games on the schedule. But up front, if you're listening, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, the Odyssey app, then here we go. Norris between Tkachuk and Batherson. Real shocker there. That line coming off an electric performance against Washington. The second line stays the same as well. Hell, the third line stays the same also. Nick Paul, Stützle, Connor Brown, Tierney, Formanton, Ennis, and the new guys on the fourth line. Or the new guy, and then Austin Watson, of course, returning to the lineup with Zach Sanford. So Logan Shaw looks to be on the outside looking in, and Scott Sabourin, who made his season debut last game, he's also on the outside looking in. Pilsy, when you see these line combos just on defense, I don't know if it matters as much, although it seems that Delzato is just Shabbat's placeholder, and then they're going to go with Shabbat Zub, Holden Zaitsev, and then Mete Josh Brown. Do you think that it's overdue we mix it up on defense a little bit, or are you happy with running the same units out against Dallas on Friday?
I don't know how much mixing up they can do, right? Like, the only thing they haven't tried yet is splitting up Zub and Shabbat, but I would rather have one of three defense pairs be effective than zero of three.
You know, they haven't tried Holden on the right side with Shabbat. If True. They're going to split up Zub and Shabbat, and of course, I'm not advocating for that, but when the other two pairs are completely getting caved in, you kind of have to think about doing it because they can only be on the ice as often as they are. And trust me, they're doing it as often as they can. Yeah. But it's just simple facts. Can't play the entire game. So if that's the case, DJ Smith might have to look elsewhere because, oh man, the Holden Zaitsev, who's moving the puck out of the zone on that pair? Like, we liked what Holden brought. And then Mete, Josh Brown, maybe the worst game I've seen from a D pair all year.
Yeah, it was bad. I still think Mete and Josh Brown should get another chance here just because they're a bottom pair and it was just one game. And all I know is I still think Mete and Brown as a bottom pair is better than Mete and Zaitsev as a second pair. To minimize that pair's ice time rather than have Mete with Zaitsev, and that just didn't work for a much larger sample size. But I'm confident that Shabbat, like, the game's not till Friday, so we still got a couple days here. I'm confident Shabbat's going to get back here, so I'm not taking too much stock into this until we hear more about Shabbat's injury, but I like that fourth line that the Sens have now, right? Like, Sanford,
it's better.
I don't know what to say about him, but a guy like him should be able to thrive on a fourth line up against weaker competition. And then Gambrell, I'm really excited to see what he brings to the table. I'm hoping there's a little more offense than what's been shown so far. So let's see if he can get Sanford going. And then Waddy, he's the spark plug, right? Like, he's out there creating energy. He's making hits, blocking shots. So it's great to have Austin Watson back in the team. And I feel like, I don't know this, but I feel like Watson is a big locker room guy.
Oh,
just having him around kind of lifts people's spirits. And it says, especially like, for a guy like Brady, that's got to feel nice having Watson in the lineup being like, okay, like, if things get a little hairy and a little tough and gritty here, I don't have to answer the bell every single time here. We got someone else who's confident. Not, I mean, they had Sabourin, but it's a little different.
Our scouting report we got on Dylan Gambrell was that there's not much offense there. But if you look back, this is an insane stat.
That's what I'm saying. Like, his offense was crazy before the NHL.
In college, he had over a point per game as a freshman. 47 points in 41 games.
All 3 years, he was over a point per game.
Over a point per game, 42 and 38, and then 43 in 41. And then in his first year out of school, he had 20 goals and 45 points with the Barracuda in the American Hockey League. So that hasn't translated yet to the National Hockey League. His career high is 12 points. He got that last year in 49 games while he was being a dash 18. But again, let's see how he can fit in. Right shot centerman, which we know this team does need very much, especially with the absence of Shane Pinto. So let's give him a shot here. Cause right now, they got lefty, lefty, lefty otherwise with Norris, Paul, and Tierney all down the middle. So you get a bit of a different look there. And hey, it's a team he's going to be more familiar with, right? San Jose and Dallas play each other a lot more than he'd play if he was in the Eastern Conference. So yeah, I'm excited to see this, man. Let's take a look. And tomorrow we're going to get more into that and how Ian Mendez has started his season. He's coming up on a year at the Athletic. So I want to get into a bit more of his story as well. And of course, we're going to ask him to stick around for some trivia. But Pilsy, before we wrap up, let's touch on that stat I brought up right off the top. Artem Zub has more points than Mitch Marner and Cole Caulfield combined in one less game. In six games so far this season, Artem Zub has three assists. Cole Caulfield and Mitch Marner are both looking for their first goal and each have one assist. And I'm not going to pat myself on the back here, but you could almost tell Cole Caulfield was due for a sophomore slump.
Yeah, and Ross, this is great. I feel like you've pegged both of our kind of nemesises there. Like, Caulfield's your guy, Marner's my guy. So it's nice seeing those two guys struggle. Yeah, we love to hate him. But, I mean, if Mitch Marner could help me out on my parlay here, that would actually help. I'm desperate when I'm betting Leafs puck line as a part of my parlay.
No doubt. That being said, did you see John Tavares was modeling Team Canada's Olympic gear? That guy's not making the team, or shouldn't.
You might not make the team. Yeah, yikes. Like, that's a little aggressive. But hey, he's Jonathan Tavares. He's captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he makes $11 million. Of course he's going to make the team. Come on.
Oh, my God. That's tough. That would be the equivalent of Seth Jones being one of the first three players on Team USA. But that's, to me, was the most mind-boggling part of all this. They've already named three players to their men's hockey team.
Why would you use one of those?
Why wouldn't Petrangelo, McDavid, or Crosby be the guys doing this? It makes absolutely zero sense. Okay, before we go, one last story out of the National Hockey League. What's your most surprising story? What are you looking around the league and being like, wow, we're 2 weeks in the season? This is shocking.
I'm going to go with the Detroit Red Wings, Ross. How well they've played so far has been absolutely mind-boggling. Like,
can we talk for a second? Remember when the tweet came out, Bob McKenzie saying that Detroit's going off the board at four? Between when Ottawa took Stützle and then they took Lucas Raymond. Like,
yeah, he just got off the board at all.
He just got a hat trick in his last game, and he's an absolute stud.
Man, Lucas Raymond, though, that was a guy that we were really gunning for. If we would have got the Timmy Raymond combo, that would have been nice.
At three, if they had taken Raymond at three, we would have been all over that. People were saying it, right? That wasn't too much of a hot take, but when we did our day of D-Day was the name of the episode. If you want to go back, that was an absolute hype fest. We had 20 different voices, fans saying, and a lot of them were Stützle or Byfield and Raymond. And unfortunately, he doesn't make it to five. Jake Sanderson certainly doing just fine, right? Pilsy. As I forget who pointed out, I want to give credit to it, but unfortunately can't remember. So tweet us if you're the one who put out this poll saying, which player would you rather through six games of their sophomore season, player A, player B? And so far, of course, it's early. Jake Sanderson having a better sophomore season than Kale McCarr had a few years ago at University of Massachusetts. He's six games, 7 points. I'm going to pull up Brad Sloshman's tweet. By the way, Pilsy, the University of North Dakota, they're playing in Nashville this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's going to be pretty exciting for them getting to go up. And all right, here's a stat. It took Jake Sanderson 5 games to surpass his goal total from last season.
Yeah.
Sanderson currently leads UND or is tied for the lead in points with 7, shots on goal with 19 shots in 5 games, plus minus, he's plus 6. And he's got 10 block shots to lead the team as well. This kid is an absolute stud. Wow. Do you want to take it away with Ridly Gregg as well before we go? Because we got to give him a shout out. I tweeted out at Sen Central in his last 19 games, he's got 27 points. So hashtag offensive upside there as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we expected from Ridly Gregg, right? Yeah. Like he's going to dominate that down there in Brandon. Are you going to get tickets to see him play soon, Ross? He's right in your neck of the woods there.
I've been traveling way too much right now. I need to take it easy. I just had a job interview yesterday, and if I get it before next Tuesday, I'm going to try to go down to Minnesota. It's a 6-hour drive to see the Sens next Tuesday. That's going to be a last-minute decision. But unfortunately, the Brandon Wheat Kings were in Winnipeg while Ridly Gregg was still with the Ottawa Senators.
Right, yeah.
So
I mean, there's going to be more of those games, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So later on in the season, for sure, I'm going to be keeping an eye on Ridly, and also the Edmonton Oilers Kings will be coming to Winnipeg. I'll go see our boy Carson Latimer there too.
He's been playing well as well. So some Sens prospects lighting it up in the dub.
We do have to say we need to see a little more from Ben Roger. Dash 4 in 6 games, no points. Yeah, Atu-Rati was right there. That being said, I hate to end on a negative, but it is exciting times right now, although the Senators are on a 3-game losing streak. We'll get into it tomorrow. I was going to say, what do they need to do to get back on track? But we've got 2 more shows before the Sens are in action on Friday night. Weird week, right? You play Monday, Friday, Tuesday. Like no weekend game at all. So anyways, we'll be with you the whole way. And again, please subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. So we are, 954, I believe we're at last check. So get us to 1,000, please. We'd like to make a few shekels on that. And we do appreciate all the support on Twitter as well, at Sen Central. You can follow us on Instagram as well, LockedOn.Senators. Of course, our handles are right below you on YouTube. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.